by the way.
Hello and welcome. We're back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Now featured on the Believe network of shows, BLEAV.com. Happy to be a part of a group of like-minded sports podcasters. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
Doing great. Doing great. Yeah. And wait a second. What happened?
Tell me.
I had a tab open because there was something that I wanted.
I wonder if it's the same thing that I just saw.
No.
You know
when you accidentally delete a tab? Yeah. I had something to talk about because I saw it this afternoon after we had already kind of set the agenda, and this was on it. Now it's
I use Chrome on my phone, and I had to open a Safari tab. It said like use Safari for something, and I went and I'm like, I had to find Safari on my phone. And then I opened it and it was on like some rando's OnlyFans. I had got suckered into clicking on something a long time ago and it was on Safari. And I'm like, oh my God. I was embarrassed, but I was the one that busted myself. Speaking of that, Ed, I was just looking at this headline while we were getting started here. Diddy. Diddy. Hold on. Let's get some on my screen. First of all, I did see something where Diddy's down one accuser. And this is
I did see that.
Yeah, this is like when that one cocaine cowboy was able to get off because just that one juror I don't know. I don't see it. And just that one, and all of a sudden that juror was going on lots of cruises and stuff and had a boat.
Hungarian.
Yeah, it's all you need. Only takes one. Johnny Cochran knew that. He saw that white lady taking notes, and he's like, "We got to get rid of that white lady who's taking notes. She is not our friend. Let's get her." And then they made up some bullshit that got her kicked off the jury. Diddy halted a freak off to find and confront Suge Knight in L.A., Cassie claimed in court. And it says they were having a freak off, which is an orgy. That's a Diddy code for orgy. They were having an orgy when he found out in L.A., when Diddy found out that Suge Knight was in the area and they had to halt. But Diddy also scary. He went to Mel's Diner to confront Suge Knight. But this is, and I'm just reading, I guess this guy, there's this court reporter that's like transcribing the whole case on Twitter, or as Jason Stewart calls it, X. This guy, so he said, this is Cassie is testifying, and thoughts and prayers to Cassie. In what hotels in New York did you have freak offs? Trump, Gramercy, Intercontinental, 44th Street, yes. Elsewhere, Mandarin Oriental, Fountain Blue. These are all the high end joints.
Yeah, these are nice spots.
Yeah. What names were used? Jackie Starr. I used Frank Black. Oh, is she a fan of the Pixies? What supplies for freak-offs? Listen to this shit, Ed.
Baby oil.
Astroglide. Baby oil. Condoms. Who brought the supplies? Security. Sean's assistants. What brand of baby oil? Johnson's. And then he says, and then the lawyer, the prosecutor asked her, how was it used? And she said, Sean said you had to be glistening. Now, Ed, these are fucking high end hotels. They're definitely having to pay a cleaning fee here. Like, what? Like, do you think?
Oh, yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess after that.
Yeah. Do you think there's tarpaulin? Are they putting down? Do they come in with like drop cloths? And then you're getting on a drop cloth and you're glistening. So you're slipping and sliding away. Like you can't, it's hard enough to get in regular positions.
Showing up at a freak off is probably like drunkenly showing up at Patrick Bateman's apartment after a night of drinking. You're like, hey, what's with all the plastic here? And then you're about to get an axe while Huey Lewis in the news is playing.
It's but like, this is,
I imagine he's got a prep crew.
Yeah.
And so it's like, there's going to be a freak off, but like, it's the Intercontinental. Like, we can't
leave it. We got to leave it better than we found it. So they freak off and then everything's jizzed up and Johnson's everywhere. There's Stroglide. There's used rubs. You know, there's everything. Apparently urine. There was urine. It was involved in it for some reason. And then he's got the crew that comes in. Like when Jimmy Hoffa went to that one house in New Jersey and walked into the tarpaulined off the drop cloth room, you know, and then somebody else comes and cleans it up. They got some guys for that. They have to, right? Or else they're losing their deposit.
Like, how about the people who don't know they're going to a freak off? And you're like Tommy and Goodfellas. You show up in the room, and you're like, oh, and there's just a dick hitting you in the ear.
Yeah, because you have to be orgy ready, Ed. Like, you got to, and I'm not just talking like, you know, whatever kind of shaving or prep work you got to do, maybe take a little hit of Viag.
It's one thing if you're thinking there's going to be a one-on-one type situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're just getting a tsunami of penises, it's a lot to handle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a mental, you need to work up to these types of things mentally. You can't just show up. You gotta prep. And
stories about orgies even threesomes, I think it's exhausting to think about. Like, that I've never been in that realm because look, I give it everything I got for one. I can't do more than one.
No. No. No.
That's all I got.
And it's look, I like to put my, you know, I put my focus on one partner.
Sure.
You know,
but I just don't have the multi-purpose club in my bag. I just don't. I got
no rescue club. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm not out of that sand trap.
You're right. You're up there hitting driver every time, you know, you're going for distance, Ed.
Yep. And I trust me, I'm putting it all into that drive. It's just, I can't be thinking about different.
Yeah. You're a giver.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. And I look, sometimes getting a little older, sometimes I lose my focus, you know, like I got to be locked in. And if there's shit happening, if I'm like, whoa, there's a spray of Johnson's coming by, or, you know, people are freaking off too close to me, you know, it would be hard for me to be in my element. And also, like, who needs it this badly? Like, this is a high level of needing it, because the regular way is just so good, you know, like this.
It's the best.
There's no improving on that.
And then you're trying to have the regular way over here, and you're like, wait, is that the guy who rapped over "I'll be missing you"? I mean, "Every breath you take." Like, what the fuck is going on over here?
Yes, is that Carl Winslow? Did I just see
what?
Did I just see Al Powell?
Yeah, what's with? Shouldn't you be beating Twinkies at the base of the Nakatomi Towers?
It really just does seem like a lot. But I know, look, I'm going to forget about this by tomorrow, but it seems like this guy, Inner City, at Inner City Press on X, would he see, how frequently were you in Sean's residence? All the time. Did they have safes? Yes. What did you observe in them? Cash, jewelry, cameras, and videotapes.
Well,
it's from the freak-offs.
This is what undid Richard Nixon. You can't keep evidence of your misdeeds.
You really can't record
stuff like that.
It's so dumb to do that, because you think, oh, no one's ever going to get a hold of this, you know? And you know what? They do. They do get a hold of it, and they send it to people, and they send it to their mom, and they send it to Ed's wife, and they send it to all sorts of people. And it's like, hey, you know, these are my private conversations, but no.
One moment, you're having a private moment. Yeah. The next, you're losing your silverware.
And the couch. All of that. I have nowhere to sit. Where am I supposed to sit? Yeah. I'm sitting on a fucking patio chair, Ed, and a card table.
You're just on the floor, crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, I was lucky to have that patio chair and a leftover plastic fork. Wow. from a picnic.
Right, delivery.
Yes, from a DoorDash. Years before. Okay, let's not relive the bad times. Let's just instead talk about people who recently died. Oh my God! Let's just play that one. We haven't played that one in a while.
Rest in peace, the ballers hope you rest in peace.
That's right, we do.
It's been a while.
That's great.
You won't laugh no more. You won't smile no more.
What else? What else are you not gonna do?
You won't laugh no more.
Oh, you won't laugh twice.
Back to the laughter.
You won't fuck no more. You won't fuck
no more. Yeah. So bring me to the party. We hope you would stand.
Imagine, Ed, creating, and this is the point of art, right? Imagine creating, there's this dude Banksy who fucking spray paints stencil bullshit everywhere, and I kind of like him because the message is the right message.
Yeah, there's usually some good stuff, but yeah.
Very. That one thing he shredded at Sotheby's was pretty good. And like, look, I'm kind of with it. Now his art kind of sucks, but who am I? I'm a critic over here.
It's better than Warhol. Like,
well, Warhol sucks too. God, Warhol sucks. But, there's this guy Banksy. Art. And he's like, no one really knows. Could be multiple guys. Could be. And he's arguably the most famous living artist in the world.
Yeah.
And no one knows exactly who he is. He doesn't take credit. Similarly, whoever made this is just listen.
Rest in peace. Yes. Rest in peace. Okay. The ballers hope you rest in peace. You won't laugh no more.
You won't.
You won't smile no more.
Laugh or smile. And
you
or
won't laugh no more.
Also laugh again.
And you won't fuck no more.
And you also won't fuck
no more. So dearly to the party, we hope you rest in.
Both a note at the end. Like, imagine not taking credit for that. We'll never know. We don't know.
Maybe he's a believer. I believe it's on the 20th Century Fox. It's art for art's sake. It says it in Latin. He's not in it for the credit.
That's right.
Ars gratia artis.
Yeah.
Art for art's sake. That's what he's in it for.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Ars gratia. Okay, hold on a second, Ed, before we move on, because I just want to close that Diddy thing, and there's another thing. Breaking news, and I hope this isn't in the rundown. The Menendez brothers. Could be on their way to freedom, Ed. L.A. judge resentences Menendez brothers, giving them a chance at freedom. Eric and Lyle Menendez received a chance at freedom after more than 35 years in prison Tuesday, with a judge resentencing the brothers after relatives testified it was time for them to come home. There's nobody.
But what is home? Their last memory of home was...
Yeah.
Hunting down Kitty, and giving her an extra shot in the back of the head.
Yeah, they had to run.
They got to create a new home environment because home was the problem.
You think so?
Right?
Yeah,
there's no coming home. Home was the whole problem for the Menendez brothers.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Their dad wasn't a cool guy. They probably don't have good memories of that home, and it probably belongs to some producer or influencer now.
Dad, very likely was a problem, but clearly that's a bigger issue. With Kid.
Well, mom didn't protect him. It all comes down to mom, you know?
Because, they off dad, but Kitty, they hunted down execution style and, like, gave her plenty of bullets, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Right. They had a real problem with
Kitty. Yes. They did. I believe he told him to, like, go do something. He goes, I'll take care of mom or I'll finish off mom.
The best move is if they get out and immediately go to an NBA game and find themselves on a basketball card. Like, they're on an Anthony Edwards basketball card just sitting there in the crowd.
How do we get do we get the Knicks, your beloved Knicks, who seem to be are very likely on their way to the...
I went to the game that they got smoked. I went to the Saturday
game. They've only lost one game in the series.
Yeah, they got hammered.
Yeah, they're very likely on their way to the conference final and possibly the NBA finals. And God willing, the NBA championship. Who wouldn't love that? It's been so long.
Oh, yeah. I got this at the game.
Yeah, see? New York forever. Beautiful. Imagine Jim Dolan does the right thing and he signs Mark Jackson to a one-day contract. And then he brings then he gives the Menendez brothers
group hug,
courtside seats. And then they do, you know how like when they let the kid with autism or Down syndrome
give him a layup and then give the other team a layup to make it even.
Yes, then they make it even. They bring out Mark Jackson just so they could recreate the shot in a live game with the Menendez brothers sitting courtside, except now Lyle looks like that one guy on your fridge.
Right. Willy.
Wooly Willy.
But what you don't want to do
is
have Mark Jackson come back to coach because he had Steph Curry and he's like, I don't know what to do with this thing. And then Steve Kerr's like, oh, let's do this. And then they just win all the games.
Yeah. Wall offense. I'm like, this Mark Jackson could have come up with my wall offense. Unbelievable. I do believe they've done enough over the first 45 years one day they can get, they should get the chance.
Were they in college when they did this?
Yeah, I think one was going to Princeton. I think Eric.
You're like mid-50s?
I think so, yeah. I think Eric was like 18. And this was in like 1989? Because Batman. They went to Batman.
Right.
1989. So, and he was 18. So that, yeah, he's born like 1970, 71. He's got a lot of life left to live.
Sure does.
And look, are they going to get two more parents to abuse them that they can murder? Because, you know, everyone else is safe. I mean, I might be a little concerned if I was that fucking psychoanalyst that ratted him out. Can't keep his mouth shut.
They do have a score still to settle.
Yes, at least one that we know of. And a couple of them had mouthy girlfriends. Yeah.
Two scores have been settled.
Made scores. But look.
But I know I had nothing to do with that.
I'm good.
Unless he caught word that I was calling him Wooly Willy, then maybe I have.
We can have a laugh about it. Look, he does look pretty weird. And in the movie, and I only watched like the first couple episodes of the miniseries, he had like a couple like nubs like installed on his forehead where he could clip on, where he could attach the hairpiece to the nubs. It was like he looked like Lobot, like something was like drilled into his head and it snapped on Lego style. I want to get to the bottom of that. Can you explain how that worked? Or was that just creative license by that piece of shit that makes those celebrity movies? Ryan, what's his name? Something to think about. Ed, who died this week? Hold on. We'll have him on the show. The Menendez brothers are welcome to come on this show, and we're part of the Believe Network now, so maybe we can get them.
As is the John Hinckley Jr., right?
I actually reached out to him. And his manager, and look, if I were John Hinckley Jr. and I tried to whack President Reagan and did accidentally kill that James Brady guy, look, I would pretend that my manager was speaking for me, too. You know, like that, I would say, oh no, that's my manager talking. But the manager
to impress, trying to impress the star of Freaky Friday,
a lesbian woman. he was. Yeah, look, I personally, I reached out, and his manager said John Hinckley's not doing interviews right now. Maybe that's changed. Maybe if we buy a couple T-shirts, that'll change. Okay, Ed, who died this week?
Well, this is a late breaker. We lost Morris, the Colorado alligator, in Happy Gilmore. He dies at over 80 years old. But remember in the movie, we already saw him up in heaven with Chubbs.
That's right.
Like, remember the alligator like waves at the end?
Yeah.
But we lost Morris, the Colorado alligator.
R.I.P. Well, they live a long ass time.
80.
You know,
remember that time we talked about an alligator that used to belong to Hitler that died?
Maybe. They live a Yeah.
I think it would belong to Hitler.
I think there's like some alligators that, you know, Hitler, big animal lover. That's, you know, it's he put Germany back to work. I think this is a good line of discussion to go down on the first day on a new network. He put Germany back to work, built a lot of roads. Okay. Animal lover, vegetarian.
He was a really bad painter.
Yes. Right? Weird dick.
Had a weird dick.
I bet he had some shit with his parents.
Clara Pulsel was his mom, something like that.
He's not that well versed.
He was history's greatest monster was one bullet point. History's greatest monster.
Yes, yes. And also, you got to tell the full story of a man's life.
He certainly fucked up two things. The name Adolf.
Ruined.
You can't just have, like, Adolf Kors was already around then.
Yeah, of course.
But you can't be Adolf anymore. And you can't have that mustache unless you're Michael Jordan and you just think, like, nobody said no to you.
Why not? He just didn't even know. Yeah, you don't see a lot of babies. We've talked about this. You don't see a lot of babies named Gary.
Yeah, that would be cute. If you saw a baby named Adolf, you'd be like, I'm just going to leave this. I'm going to leave baby Adolf in a hot car.
Nobody's naming their baby Adolf or Pol Pot anymore. Come on. Or Genghis.
I've seen no baby Pol Pots.
Yes, that's such bullshit. Such a cute baby name.
Ruined cute baby name.
Who else died, Ed?
Speaking of cute baby names,
yeah,
we lost Sabu. I was not familiar with this one, but ECW legend and former WWE star, 60. Yeah. Is this like how everybody in porn is a porn star? Because I'm not into wrestling, but when I was a kid and considering this guy would have been like on the scene when I was 10. Or something.
Yeah.
I knew Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Even Brutus the Barber, Beefcake.
Nikolai Volkoff.
I had heard of these people. I'd never heard of Sabu.
Ed, I got to be honest. Unfamiliar with Sabu as well, myself. But I was listening to radio the other day, and one of the hosts was actually crying that he was so sad about the death of Sabu. And
was the radio host the, it's real to me, damn it.
It must have been. Like, I'm like, one, I never heard, like, I liked wrestling, Sabu. And then I turned 11. So I figured, like, I would have been, but I'm like, what's ECW? Was that, like, one of the ones in the South? Like, and also.
I think that was the one on, like, TBS.
Oh, yeah. And so I didn't know. I don't think there was TBS wrestling when we were kids.
I didn't watch that. I just remember there would be like some random cable channels that would have that. Yeah. And I was hoping to find sports, like real sports.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're flipping through. You're looking for like anything. Remember there were like sometimes there would be like handball. I remember ESPN would air marbles. Like there would be a ring.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I do. There was all sorts of shit back in the day.
What? Brits will like get into darts on TV. Yeah. Like
they're
today.
So good. Yeah.
But they're way into
right
darts.
Now. Yes.
Today.
Yeah. I know. Yes. Yeah.
Crazy.
So, yeah. I never heard of Sabu. The dude was only 60. And also, it's a little problematic that, like, you know, he was cosplaying as an Arab. And I think he was a white dude, Ed.
There was a multi-part on Behind the Bastards podcast. They did a multi-part on Vince McMahon, but it went into all of the wrestlers and all the, you know, all these.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of in the Iron Sheik territory. There was a lot going on with guys cosplaying as Arabs.
Iron Sheik is actually Iranian. You know, like he was a real ass dude.
No, but in that universe, they were really like playing up. Yeah. You know, stereotypes and stuff like
that. Yes, not cool. But look, RIP Sabu, 60 today. I looked at him a picture of him in his prime. And so, I thought he was 71 then. So he must have had a hard life.
60. We really should come up with a calculation. You know how like dog years, it's like, seven. That dog is 10. Well, that dog is 70 years old. A wrestler at 60. That's like a normal human living to 195.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, we got to figure out, like, 1 year in wrestler years is worth 3.5 or wait, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. They go hard. But look, it's tough. Like, I need a Greg the Hammer Valentine, you know, or I need, like, I need guys I've heard of to die. I feel like they're just making dudes up. Sabu? There's no fucking Sabu that I know of. Like, this guy's completely
fictional. You think this guy was just a jobber? And then they're trying to remember him differently, which is nice.
You don't cry about a jobber. Nobody's crying about Dino Andino or fucking Iron Mike Sharp,
Lanny Poffo. I worked in a kitchen. Well, I was being a busboy, but the guy in the kitchen was a jobber. And whenever they would come into town, he would do like the shift when they'd be working where the Bullets play, the Washington Bullets and the Washington Capitals.
It's insane.
And Landover, and he would just tell me stories and be like, you never believe this, but Hulk Hogan's a huge piece of shit. And we're like, yeah, I thought everybody knew that.
I love this guy. Because he was jobbing while you knew him. It wasn't like he was jobbing back in the day. He's like, hey, can you trade shifts with me on Friday? I'm jobbing down at the Javits.
I'm like, buddy, I am 20 years old and I'm using the money here to take it right to the bursar's office and fucking pay off my college bills. Like, you can tell me whatever you want.
Yeah. Amazing.
We did lose name that I definitely knew from baseball 100%.
Cards. Yeah.
Great, great baseball name. Chet Lemon.
Yeah.
Detroit Tigers champion center fielder, 7 years old. Very sad. He had a name. Chet Lemon.
Chet Lemon?
Beautiful. Great
Chet
name.
Lemon? One in every pack, by the way. You always got a Chet Lemon. He was in there with Tanana. Always get one.
I still have a shoebox in the closet over there.
You?
Yeah. And I'm sure there's at least 35 1984 tops Chet Lemons.
Oh, man. You, Ed, sometime we got to do a show because I know for a fact, a dear friend of the show, G Fish, who is obsessed with two things, looking at my penis on the golf course and baseball cards. And I mean, if you just started holding them up to the camera, oh, here's a Chet Lemon, here's a Manny Sanguian, you know, here's a Sixto Lescano, like, oh my God, Frank Tanana, Pat Corrales.
We'll just do a Wayne Kuiper.
Yes, just, because there's never any fucking good ones. There's never a Mike Schmidt in a pack. Never.
No.
Never a Reggie Jackson.
But lots of Chet Lemons. But
yeah, plenty. But R.I.P.
That's not a jobber name. That is a real baseball name.
And played for a real team with a cool ass hat, like Tigers.
And during the era, we should ask Jay Stu.
Yeah.
What was cool about Chet Lemon's hat and what was a famous TV show that popularized that hat? And they have no idea. They have no idea that Magnum P.I. was wearing the Detroit Tigers hat. None.
Missed it. Wasn't on my radar. Couldn't fucking believe. Okay, let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool ring, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports?
You sent me this, and is this just evergreen, or is this like an old story? Chiefsaholic Xavier Bubadar was sentenced to 32 years in prison for the Oklahoma bank robbery.
Yeah.
But did that already happen?
That's what I thought. I'm like, what's this, fucking double jeopardy? Like, give this guy a break. Because let's hold on. Because maybe I got some bad info.
Amazon Prime, where we found out that his mouth was like Jaws from James Bond.
They were like braces, and they had like springs.
Yeah.
Well, don't they do surgery for that now? And look, this guy had plenty of disposable income. He was, He was knocking over banks left and right.
They were ill-gotten gains, but he had gains.
Sure, he could afford this stuff. Chiefsaholic sentenced. Oh, so this, look, this is a double jeopardy situation, Ed. This, they already got this guy. He's already doing 17 years. And now, insult to injury, they're just throwing more crimes. Not only do the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl 57-1 or some shit, that, like, it's as though it's not bad enough for this guy in the joint, and he's probably getting rousted by all the, you know, there's a lot of Eagles fans in there, Ed. It's probably all Eagles in that prison. And this guy's getting shit on all the time. And all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, by the way, you know how you're doing 72 or 17? How about we throw 32 on top of that, you piece of shit? And he's like, with the braces in his mouth, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of how he looks.
And by the way, yeah, Xavier,
yeah,
your team's offensive line sucks and got boat raced in the Super Bowl.
That's right. That's right. See, that's the worst part. That's the thing. He was like not even in the documentary. He didn't even seem that like, bummed.
He was like just a weird vibe. Like, you know, when you're in a room with someone who's creeping you out, I turned off the documentary because I had had enough of just being around that dude.
Yeah.
He is fucking weird and creepy.
It was super. Yeah, he definitely, I think there's a fetal alcohol, but usually the eyes are like Britney Spears style with the fetal alcohol. His are like so close together, but maybe it could go either direction. You never know. And yeah, he's just like not present. He's not there. And then his mom and his brother, and for some reason, they don't really show the brother on the documentary, but the mom's kind of on there, and she's living in her van and she's pissing in bags for some reason, and there's all sorts of weird shit. I mean, it's shocking. Uncomfortable.
It turned out to be such a bad
thing. What happened? He was on the right track. On Monday morning, a Tulsa County judge in Oklahoma sentenced Kansas City Chiefs super fan. Imagine being known as that. As imagine,
remember in that documentary, it was the super fans like all being like, hey, did you know Chiefsaholic is the guy they're looking for? Like,
they
all knew each other. They all had like their names.
Yeah. And they were like, oh man, he's a good guy. Cause he replied to their tweet.
Their team.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I know for a fact he's a good guy because like he said Xavier Worthy was a great pick. Oh, okay.
What sentence? Kansas City Chiefs superfan Xavier Babadar. This is a fucking tough one to read, Ed. It's too many B's and D's. Babadar, widely known as Chiefsaholic. I mean, also the name.
Dressed like a wolf, too. So,
yeah, he dressed like a wolf. It's never been explained to me. Okay. I need a gay, herpes suffering. I forget all the things we need, Ed, to call in. I need someone to call in because in the documentary, Xavier Babadar is not the only wolf-themed Chiefs superfan. There was another wolf-themed Chiefs superfan, and what is the wolf connection to the Chiefs? What am I missing? As a non-Chiefs fan, you know, I don't know what's up with the Chiefs. Recently, it was conveyed to me by my friend Elizabeth that my favorite player, the greatest quarterback in the history of football, Gardner Minshew, is the backup quarterback on the Kansas City Chiefs. I didn't even know that. That's how little I know about the Chiefs. I got my favorite player. But also, here's another thing I don't know. What's the wolf? Like, I know, like, back in the day, Ed, you guys, the Washington Redskins had the Hogs, the offensive line, because they were all big, fat, white guys, you know?
Yeah, that's, it was because the their offensive line coach, like, said, like, lovingly, like, hey, come on, you Hogs, let's get back, you know, to practice or something, and then it stuck. But, like, there was something, like, was somebody called a wolf there? Like, what's the wolf thing?
And it's probably very obvious, but we're not huge losers that root for the Kansas City Chiefs. So we don't know the fucking backstory of their bullshit. We like cool stuff.
Maybe,
all right. We don't like stupid shit.
He wore the wolf costume because the big snout in the helmet covered up his mouth full of metal.
What was going on there, Ed? Because they were like coming out and then And then he gets out of jail and he immediately goes and like stocks up on Doritos and Takis. Well, I was thinking
go right to the dentist and finish the job.
Yeah, or at least like have some pudding, yogurt, milkshake, cottage cheese, milkshake, soup. Yes, yes. Ground up things, like things you could eat through a straw.
I don't know, but maybe his mouth kind of looked like a garbage disposal, so maybe that's how he eats. He flips a switch and it's like
macerates. Yes!
Like,
yes!
He can eat peanut shells. It doesn't matter. Yes! He can do anything.
No problem. Just, yes, there's...
Just don't put a fork in there.
It's mechanized, whatever he had in there. According to the Tulsa County District Attorney's Office, Babadar pleaded guilty to one count of robbery with a firearm, one count of assault while masked or disguised, and one count of removing an electronic monitoring device. As a result of these charges, Babadar will serve 32 years in the Oklahoma Department of Corrections. I imagine that's one of the worst ones, Ed. Like, if you're like, I don't want to do anything in Oklahoma, especially go to prison. I don't want to be in Oklahoma ever in my life. And the last thing I want to do there is go to prison there. Get the fuck out of here. I saw somebody online the other day. It was like, they said, I was looking at their dating profile, and it said that their one of their goals, life's goals, Ed,
okay,
was to visit all 50 states. And I'm like, fucking both Dakotas? Are you, oh, like, you want to go to Arkansas?
Yeah, I've been to Arkansas.
Well, it's okay, yeah, but it's not a destination.
No.
You, like, I mean, you happen to have been in Arkansas. Did you make a point to go to Arkansas, Ed? Kansas? I'd go there to meet Kennard. If listener to the show Kennard hit me up and was like, hey, come through Kansas. I got to show you what this chick did in my bathroom. I emailed you about it that one time. I'd go to Kansas for that, but I'm not just going there just to say I went.
I will say there are a bunch of states that I've heard, like, friends have visited and they're beautiful, that like, it's never like been on my radar that you could probably, a lot of these states, you could probably find something beautiful. It's just, you know, I've mostly been on the coasts.
Yes. There's nice places. I've heard Arkansas is very nice. It's a sportsman's playground. I understand. But that said, I'm not going there to visit. I believe you that it's beautiful. Okay.
I'll take there.
Nebraska's great.
I only went to Arkansas because we overshot Memphis, and it's like right there. Like, yes, you just,
it's right next to it.
Just go, and you're like, oh,
yeah, turned around. Arkansas. Yeah. Remember, who's our friend that's the Michigan? Mark the Nomad. Remember, he drove to Oklahoma. He drove from Florida to get his dick preyed on by a, not P-R-E-Y. PR, prayed over is a better description, because he had to get his balls reattached so he could have more kids. You're looking at me like you don't remember the story.
No, he did it in Oklahoma. I didn't know
he
that.
He did it in Oklahoma. That was part of the story, because there's, I guess, he was getting a discount or something on the VAS reversal. He had to get his VAS reversed, so he hiked it in a car for some reason. I guess because maybe your balls need to recover, but who wants to be in a car that long with sore nuts? He drove from Florida to Oklahoma.
That must have been a 70-hour drive. Like, what is that?
I know. It's insane.
Forever.
Mark, anybody still talk to Mark? He's probably on Twitter still talking about his
Michigan,
defending Connor Stallions, like vehemently defending Connor Stallions. But maybe he can explain us again. He told us before, but I don't remember. For some reason, he had to drive to get his vasectomy reversed from Florida to Oklahoma. And that's, I mean,
Florida's got everything there. Surely there's someone in Florida.
There's got to be the best guys that do it there, Ed. It's like, that's there's a bunch of old dudes getting it reversed in Florida. Like, that's the place. It's kind of like going to Turkey for hair plugs.
Oh, yeah, that is the place.
Oh, I know. It's insane. It's crazy. Like, I've seen pictures of the plane, like people flying home with their heads wrapped. Everybody's got their head wrapped. Because they went there specifically to get replugged. Anyway, Xavier Babadar, sorry, buddy, but it looks like here's the thing. He's still like 25 or something, Ed.
But also,
Yeah.
That whole documentary, I mean, I just gave up because it was enough. But
it is enough.
It was like he was granted the right to go to the Super Bowl, watch the Super Bowl. It's like,
yeah.
Why? Because he loves the Chiefs so much? Like, well, whatever. You don't, you don't like go to court and you're like, I love outside so much, so you can't put me in jail. And you're like, well, no. It makes a point. He does love being outside of jail. Like, well,
he bonded out. He got, but normally you have to have an asset.
Right. But he was allowed to travel, right? Which you're not.
No, I think he watched it in a hotel room. He was still in the like local to the court. He was like a days in or something watching it. Look, I agree with you.
It was a depressing scene.
He was the most obvious flight risk I've ever seen in my life. And then his bondsman, who had a fucking one of the worst toupees I've ever seen in my life, and dude, also
something special.
No surprise, an Android phone, was like, oh no, I'll put up $80,000 of my own money for this dude that's definitely gonna run away. And then what did he do? He fucking ran away. Like, what a surprise. Yes.
Well, I've got some boring news to add to Tom Brady's NBC? No, he's CBS.
He's Fox.
Oh, Fox. Yeah. Well, NBC is like, you've got a famous boring athlete. We're going to one up you. We got the NBA this year. We're going to get the most boring athlete, Michael Jordan. He's joining NBC's NBA coverage next year. Like, for youngsters out there that see the boring milquetoast answers, this is all carefully curated from the Michael Jordan. Like, hey, Nike's going to make you a star, but you got to be like super uncontroversial, super boring. Yeah. Just take a stand on nothing. That's Michael Jordan. Greatest player of all time. And I have to argue with my son, who's like reading the LeBron like highlights and people like, I'm like, I watch both players. Michael Jordan's the best of all time. I'm not saying anything about his basketball.
Well, you love the Bulls. You love the Chicago Bulls. So you're biased in that sense, Ed.
But
what?
The best player, but one of the all-time worst interviews. Like, people would laugh at things that weren't funny because he was great at basketball. He was not an interesting character. Like, things about him, gambling and shit, like, stories about him can be interesting. He has never been interesting.
No, he's not. He's boring. And the one thing I will say is that he hates everyone. And he's, like, in competition with everyone. Yeah. So it will be kind of exciting because he's probably going to talk shit on every – like, if he's kind of honest.
Yeah. He's being elected to the Hall of Fame. Everyone's sucking his dick. And he's like, I just want to make this about Byron Russell. Like, I just want to shit on the guy who I obviously pushed off on at the end of my career.
Long Beach State 49er Byron Russell.
Yeah.
Wait, was it Byron or Brian?
There's a Y in there.
There's a Y. Yeah, I don't know. It might be Byron. It's Byron. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great Long Beach State 49er got done dirty on that last play.
It was a clear push off. You see the extended
pushed
arm.
Pushed him off. Pushed him away. Hit that jumper.
Was there any chance he was going to miss that jumper? Because if we're talking about the greatest players of all time, I never seen Michael Jordan miss down the stretch. Never seen him once miss. It's and I never seen him inbound it to the other team. I never saw him inbound it. How are you going to have Michael Jordan pass the ball in to another teammate? Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah. The ongoing saga of Bill Belichick. This past week, he showed up to support his girlfriend as she competed in the Miss Maine pageant, which she finished second. She's 24, which is very young for him, but isn't that too old for these? I think these pageants are like for like kids, like 19-year-olds.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And doesn't she have a few too many teeth to compete in Miss Maine? Was she disqualified because they're like, excuse me, ma'am, you have 14 teeth and the rules clearly state no more than 11?
No. Yeah. I think that she just wowed him in the talent portion because she's like, I'm going to act like I'm sexually attracted to this guy who's built like a refrigerator who's melting. Here I am fondling the balls of a septuagenarian and looking like I like it.
Imagine their freak offs, Ed. Do you think they get that? Also, I've just been made aware of the fact that she spells Jordan, J-O-R-D-O-N, Jordan Hudson. Sports a sour look after failing to win Miss Maine USA pageant in front of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend fell short yet again. Wait, she's lost Miss Maine before?
Miss Susan Lucci.
Placing third. Aren't you one and done? Placing third Sunday. Yeah, and she couldn't hide her disappointment. Hudson, who came in second in the contest last year, once again didn't have quite the stuff to strut all the way to the crown. Oh, she's got a troubling look, Ed. This is her? Woo! She looked dejected behind her beaming stage smile as the results were read aloud and it was revealed she'd landed one place worse than she did in 2024. Then off stage, after the contest ended, Hudson's face remained downcast as her bodyguard.
She was Miss Hancock? Jesus, this is like
hand on cock, yeah.
Right in itself.
Yeah. She looks pretty good in this one.
She's good looking.
Yeah, this is a children's pursuit. You shouldn't be able to compete for Miss Maine multiple times with
certainly
your
not if
grandpa.
You're if you're fucking somebody's grandpa.
Yeah. Disgusting. Shelby Powell, congratulations to Shelby Powell of Bangor, who won the contest and represent Maine at the Miss USA. We're still doing pageants, Ed?
Yeah, I thought that was all kind of canceled when like people were like, yeah, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be like staring at the swimsuit competition. Like, I feel like when the chick was talking about maps, that was kind of the end of pageants. Remember?
Yes. That was
Americans
20 years ago.
Yeah, but like that's the last I heard of these things.
That's Miss South Carolina.
Yeah.
She's a legend. What else, Ed?
Draymond Green. He went on his podcast and he was upset with the agenda. I'm not an angry black man. He's got something like 14 technicals in this playoffs alone. And he thinks it's an agenda. It's like there are supercuts of you like punching, kicking. He lost his team the finals by punching his name in the balls.
Yeah, he blew the greatest season in the history.
They were 73 win team.
Yeah.
And he punched someone in the balls.
LeBron James. He punched LeBron James in the fucking dick to hand him and the Cavaliers a title, mostly Kyrie Irving. And
it's an agenda.
Yeah, it's an agenda. Also, I mean, I know they're gasping for air here, but the last I checked, the Warriors are still in the playoffs.
I've been watching he's getting such a because he plays even though he's hurt, but because he's played with the greatest shooter of all time, like he's just gotten such a pass in his career. Like he gets technicals and then when he deserves to get a second technical, they're like, well, that's a flagrant.
Yeah.
So you get a technical and a flagrant, but like, just don't get each of them twice. Like he's getting more chances than any athlete I've ever seen. And he's complaining about an agenda. He's a fucking dickhead.
He is a dickhead. Just because Draymond Green has long turned being one's own worst. Yeah. Fifth technical foul of the postseason for swinging his arms and making contact with Naz Reid's head.
Oh, yeah. It's the he's doing the shooting follow through, and then he just like clearly whacks him.
Yeah, he's an agitator, you know, and he's using it to drum up views on his podcast. Like, look, I don't want to go full Jay Stu here, who gets real upset when players have podcasts and they have the enemy. They have players from other teams on their podcast. They're doing. This isn't this back in the day. You couldn't do this, have a podcast with the enemy. Well, I mean, they fucking went drinking after the game. You know, like, what are you talking about? Like, these guys hang out. But I'm like, you're supposed to be in the playoffs and you're doing podcasts. Like, how about you go to practice? And
I don't even mind that. But yeah, like,
I mean, I don't either.
He's trying to like change a narrative around him.
Yeah.
He's just forever been that guy putting people in headlocks. Like, there's never been a play like even Lambeer And yes. People like the famous goons of the past, nobody's been more goon-like than Draymond.
Ty Domi. Yes, I agree with you, buddy.
Sad update.
Tell me.
Golfer John Daly shares grim health update.
Yeah.
Waking up is a win for me.
I
didn't sound too good.
Well, I mean, to pass along, it was maybe about, I don't know, 12 years ago or so. Well, not quite even. It's on my Instagram somewhere. It was probably about 12 years ago when I ran into John Daly at my local Costco, and he was selling his, took a picture with him. I booked him onto my buddy Travis Rogers' talk show. He was selling his vodka laced sweet tea. You know how there's an Arnold Palmer, Ed, yeah. Which is a delicious beverage. It's iced tea with lemonade.
Delicious.
He sells one called a John Daly, which is iced tea and lemonade and vodka. And he signed a bottle of it, which I've told the story many times that I quietly, and I'm not one to do this. I'm not one to place items where they don't belong, but I couldn't just exactly set it right back after he signed it and handed it to me. And I sure as fuck wasn't going to buy it. I quietly placed it in the socks. But while I was making my way around Costco, it was kind of fucked up that they set him in the back of the Costco. Because
I remember the picture that you took. He's just like at the end of an aisle, like he's handing out crackers with peanut butter on it.
Yeah. He had a table where he was signing bottles of his vodka laced iced tea, Arnold Palmer. But this fucking guy, he had to trudge it out to the front of the Costco like 11 times while I did my shopping to have a cig. Like the dude likes, couldn't you set him up closer to the door? I mean, the guy needs to smoke. Months after emergency hand surgery, amid his ongoing health struggles, John Daly says he's not ready to give up golf. Now, hold on.
Well, hang on. Hand
does
surgery.
He still play?
Waking up every day. I thought like he had like, oh, he's got lung problems. Like he had hand surgery.
Yeah.
You're supposed to wake up after a hand surgery.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like, yeah. You're not going to die of hand surgery, right? Like unless you're getting that hand surgery
infection.
In Oklahoma. Yeah. Months after emergency hand surgery and amid his ongoing health struggles, John Daly says he's not ready to give up golf. Despite a plus 27, that's like what I shoot, Ed. He's shooting Brian Beckner numbers. Last place finish over the weekend. Oh, no, he's doing that over four rounds, Ed. I just do that in one. I'm like Lazarus. I don't know mythology, Ed. Is that
well,
the
that's
one?
The back from the dead.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. I keep coming back from the dead, Daly told the Associated Press. Waking up is a win for me. The 59.
Whoa. Every time I've seen a picture of him, he looks much older than 50.
So he's much younger than George Clooney. He's younger than Brad Pitt. He's younger than Johnny Depp. He's younger than all of the Tom Cruise. And look, I get that those people are outliers, but those are just people who I happen to know the age of that are older than this guy.
He's younger than Mel Brooks, which is shocking.
The 59-year-old golfer who plays on the PGA Tour Champions. Well, the words aren't in the right order. Champions Tour. Tour Champions? Struggled at the Insperity Invitational in Texas last weekend amid his recovery from January hand surgery to his left hand. And while he won't take advantage of his lifetime exemption to play the PGA Championship next weekend, he won the tournament in 1991. He will tee it up at the... Well, hold on. If everybody gets an exemption forever, aren't there like 700 golfers in the... That's too many people.
Look, I can't even... figure out the whole live thing. I'm not even going to pretend to.
They get to wear shorts, Ed. I know that much. They get to wear shorts, and that's all I know. And it's only three rounds instead of four.
I dislocated my finger. Tell my wife I love her.
He will tee it up at the Senior Golf Tour's Regions Tradition, which is scheduled for the same dates. Well, yeah, because that's because he could win money there. Like, if he goes to PGA He's not going to win money. I can go there and miss the cut and get $6,000, Daly said of the PGA Championship, but I'm playing Birmingham. I love Regions. They're a great sponsor, but why are they scheduling Regions the same week as the PGA Championship where I can see Brooks, Koepka, and all the guys? It's not even talking about his injury, Ed. The iconic golfer who has
deadly hand injury?
Has won 5 PGA events, including 2 majors, is known for his unconventional attire and cigarette-chomping demeanor while on the course, and giving up is seemingly not in his DNA. In a September 2020 interview with the Golf Channel, he vowed to keep playing after sharing his bladder cancer diagnosis.
Okay, that's more serious.
You don't want that one. I'm cutting way, way back on the Diet Coke and counting minutes before I can have a cigarette. See, I saw this.
That's not the bladder cancer is, you know, it's not just the Diet Cokes, buddy. I have a feeling there's a whole lot of stuff that needs to be.
It doesn't help, though. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah,
No,
it doesn't help.
Yeah, it's emblematic of a certain lifestyle that he's leading.
What you're supposed to say is like, I got to change my whole lifestyle, not just I'm cutting the Diet Coke portion of my unhealthy living.
Yeah. So it just says Daly shared that his cancer had been in remission for 4 years in a February 19th episode of the Like a Farmer podcast. There's so many fucking podcasts. I never heard of any of this shit. So it's in remission. So what? I mean, that's the most bullshit story in the world. Waking up is a win. Oh, I guess because he had cancer 5 years ago. Waking up is a win for me because he didn't die of cancer. Well, good for him. He's a really good guy.
Every buddy day of mine, is a gift.
Close friend.
Yeah. And as you get older, I get that. It's just the way it was written made it seem like he was glad to be awake because he had hand surgery.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree with you. His body, Ed, it is. I mean, the shape of his body is, it's not an ideal body shape. You know what it is? If it weren't for the long beard, we would be looking at an old lesbian. He's got the breasts. He's got the belly. He's got the haircut. He's got the muscle tone. He has to keep that beard or else he's going to go full old lesbian. God.
I just clicked on it. Wow.
Yeah.
What is that? It's Santa Claus.
Yeah. Yes.
I know. Santa Claus.
Looks like shit. Okay. Let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Lost so fucking boring and worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish. His faults are useless shit. He's fat and got big tits.
He's doing well. He's going to be here. Oh, couple of VMs.
Hey, ballers, Drew in Phoenix. Last week, you talked about Chalamet skipping the Met Gala for the Knicks game, which is very cool, but it reminded me of when he was on College Game Day on Conference Championship Week and blew everyone away by Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah, he knows all the teams and stuff. He's a true fan.
Oh, yeah, he's... Yeah. He's a super Knicks fan.
I've come around on him. Like, he's a bit twinky and whatnot, but he looks...
I didn't watch all of it. It's on Hulu, but he's fucking good in it.
Is it on Hulu?
I believe it's Hulu.
Did you watch far enough to see your building featured as in the original Greenwich Village?
I did see one Hoboken shot, but no, I have not seen the full movie yet.
Yeah.
But he's good. He's good.
Yeah, he's good. And look, he supposedly was a super spreader of chlamydia at NYU back in the day. But that's allegedly.
Funny last night at the Knicks game.
Yeah.
He's going crazy and Kylie Jenner's like vamping for the camera next to him. And he's like going crazy and like he's just like cheering for the team and she's in it for to be seen.
Of course. Exactly. Yeah. No, he seems like a real dude. So I've come around on Chalamet, I have to admit.
Random schools, and actually I think he had more correct picks than anyone on the panel. So yeah. I definitely think the show should embrace this guy. Also, he has a pretty impressive roster just by looking like a gay porno actor.
Yeah, he fucks a lot.
Anyway, the other thing I wanted to talk about was, of course, RIP to Kyle. I'm sure this will be covered, but it's been a year since we lost him. The After Show boys were talking about possibly seeing if Doll Family Farm shirts could be sold to tell about his family.
Oh, yeah,
I know that I'd love to rep that, but yeah. I did just want to remind everyone, as I'm sure Brian will, that the GoFundMe is still open and active, and I'm sure the family would really appreciate, you know, seeing that love come through after a year without him. So thank you guys for everything, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
Dude, thank you for that, Drew. We miss Kyle. He's a great guy.
We do miss Kyle.
Yeah. Here's another one.
Guys, Super Lee. Just want to say, look at us, Ed. Look at us. The Knicks are out there making the Celtics their bitch, coming back. Knicks. First two games, taking it.
Still got to get that fourth win.
Had a rough start, and then come right back.
Got to close them out. It's the hardest game to win.
So you can start crying at home. No question there.
Wait, did Jason Tatum tear his Achilles? Is that what's going on there? Oh, yeah. So he's out like 2 years.
Yeah, he's because I think it's like at best like a 9-month injury before you can start working on it. Like he's not going to play in the NBA next year.
No, he definitely won't. And it will probably be like at least the middle of the following season before he can come back.
And their budget with the whole apron situation, like they have like so many max guys, like they're gonna have to change the team. When he comes back, it'll just be a different team. They'll probably keep Brown. But like all the great supporting players, I don't know how they can afford them.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That guy, Dad Bryan, calling in from his car to the Baller Lifestyle After Show.
Oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Very beautiful thing. Ed, we need to have you on there. Also, Ed, I sent you a little present. It's a toothpaste adapter, not the little thing that allegedly Ben sent you.
What?
This is sent with love. I hope you enjoy it.
But Ed likes to get all the toothpaste out of the tube by himself. He doesn't use props.
Props. I'm not a prop comic.
Is he fucking Diddy over here? What at the freak offs? Well,
that explains something, because I got it in the mail today.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I don't even know what it is, because it just came in like, you know, these not all Amazon packages. Strange. It's just like a plastic bag, and it's penis head.
That's for your toothpaste? I don't get it, Ed.
I didn't get it.
I don't get the joke at all.
So, am I supposed to put this on top of my toothpaste?
I don't get it. Oh, like a cap?
Like a
That's
cap?
The cap. Oh, and then the tooth. Oh, Ed, I don't like the way you're touching it. I don't like.
I opened the mail about a half hour before the show started, and I was like, I'll bring it down. If somebody brings it up, I didn't know what it was. It was unmarked.
Yeah. Kind of a swing and a miss, I gotta be honest. Okay. One voicemail. Hi, Brian and Ed. The NFL schedule release is Wednesday night at 5 PM. What are your plans for this big event? Well, go Knicks.
They're leaking out certain games. Like yesterday, I found out that, or today, I found out that the Commies are playing in Spain in November. But then tomorrow,
Spain, España,
they're playing where Real Madrid plays. But like,
stop! Oh, that's where they have. That's where they have they have another field under the field.
Yeah, the Bernabeu. It's pretty badass when Arsenal smoked them. In the Champions League, but. Yeah, I know they're always trying to expand the NFL reach, but like,
fucking cares?
You know, look, like you play the schedule. You already know who they're going to play. Like, I know they're going to play the Cowboys twice, the Eagles twice.
Yeah,
the Giant. Like, I don't know. It's not.
I don't give a fuck.
I can't get it. Like, I'm interested when it's Monday. I'm like, or Wednesday. Like, who are they playing this weekend? That's what I care about.
They play. You play your everyone in your division twice.
Then you play.
And then you
another division.
Yeah, you play another division in the other league, right?
And another division in your league.
Yes. Yeah, but then there's like some rivalry games that they always play, right?
Well,
like there's
no. Yeah. It has to do with your Commies are going to play a second place schedule because they came in second. Yes. Last year they had a last place schedule, so it would be better for them. Like,
who fucking cares? Who cares? Who cares? People celebrate this shit. They get so fucking hard for the NFL.
It'll be like, it'll lead SportsCenter over the NBA playoffs. Yeah. They'll talk about the schedule release.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. All right. Let's talk about some not sports.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports segment.
Oh, yeah. And let's talk about, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I sent this to you. This is a haunting video that surfaced on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Halle Berry, still looking great. She posted a video from bed with her boyfriend, Van Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Who apparently had a song back in the day. I don't know. But
yeah,
she's letting everybody know. She was advertising like lube or something?
Lube, Ed. She's doing lube spots on her Instagram.
Surely times aren't that tough. Halle Berry.
He's about to
plow me in like 10 seconds. And he's like sitting there like,
he's disgusting.
Everything about this video is gross. And I'm sure they have a nice consensual relationship.
Sure.
But it feels like a sex trafficking cry for help video.
Yeah, it really does.
It's creepy.
I'll play it here in a second, but it's on TMZ, so there's a fucking long ass commercial playing for Mormon wives. And
let me look up Van Hunt.
Yeah, get us the details on Van Hunt. Because this, look, you know, a lot of times I'll be like, hey, save some first names for the rest of us. Because sometimes guys,
maybe he exists because there are too many first name guys. So he's like,
yes.
All right. Yeah. I gotta be balancing the universe.
Yeah, former guest of the show, our buddy Caleb's buddy, Scott George. He comes on the show, and I'm like, hey, Scott George, how about you save some first names for the rest of us, guy? This Van Hunt, no first names detected. This guy's called Van Hunt? Is that his last name? Isn't that the character when you... Not Grant. I always forget his name. The guy that pretends not to be gay and he's from Australia and he's Wolverine. Hugh Jackman. Well, Hugh Jackman, when he killed vampires, wasn't he called Van Hunt?
Yeah, Van Wilder.
Yes, Van Wilder or Van Hunt. Anyways, none of those are names.
Van Helsing. Okay.
Van Helsing. That's Van right. Wilder, that's very close.
Ryan Reynolds. Van Hunt. So I'm looking.
Yeah.
He won an R&B Grammy
stand.
Oh, 6, it looks like, something like that.
Yeah. What song is it? Hold on. I'm going to play it. I'm going to find it and play it. Get us kicked off YouTube. Van Hunt, American singer and songwriter. Ah. Look, this guy is not worthy. Seconds of Pleasure? That's the name of his song? Seconds of Pleasure, the Telly Tuput story? Is that, that's who we're supposed to, this is the guy that gets to have sex with Halle Berry? Okay, let's hold on. Let's check out some Seconds of Pleasure here by the great Van Hunt. This guy has sex with. I'm mad at this. I kind of like it.
Kind of sounds like sex music.
It does. It sounds like somebody who fucks. Come on.
Kind of think this dude knows what he's doing.
He might. He has a gray goatee, Ed. He's got a jarring visage.
He's got a big old Billy Goat situation. Ooh. This is fucking music.
Ooh, I would fuck this guy. Listen to that voice. God damn, no wonder he won a Grammy.
He's been in a relationship with Berry since April 2020. It's COVID.
It could be a COVID relationship, Ed. Sometimes you get tricked into those.
He's the father of a son named Drake.
Drake Van Hunt? Okay. So this is what she does on her. This is what she, I guess she posted this to her Instagram, Ed. Check this shit out.
So, showed y'all how my day started, how my Mother's Day started.
Let me describe. They're in bed. They're doing that soap opera thing where she got the covers like right above her titties, which they only do in soap operas. They keep it real tight, just like a right above the nipple line. Only in movies and soap operas do they do that. You don't do that in real life. You just kind of have them. You don't have them like.
Right. It's not evenly placed.
Yes, exactly. She's got that. They're in bed together, and he's like laying against her, looking all creepy. And they're like putting their heads together so they can get in the same video. I could not get hard in this situation. Man.
I can't say this is a frequent moment in my life, but I do know the feeling when somebody's like, oh, I just got to send an email or I got to do this. And I'm like, hey, come on.
Before you can bang. Yes. No, I've lived through, I've been on both sides of that. And I try to be like very connected. So, hey, I'm not going to use the phone right now. You know, like I'm looking at you, girl. And Van Hunt. He gets it. Like, she's the star of the relationship. Yes, he won a Grammy in 2004 for Seconds of Pleasure, but he gets to fuck Halle Berry. So she makes the rules, and she's about to make some money. She's probably paying for this room that they're in, Ed, and she's about to pay for it by doing this lube ad. She's like, hold on.
Just before you hit it. Why does she have to do this?
I don't know. That's crazy. Yeah.
This is crazy.
I know. Well, remember, she's paying alimony to that guy. That French, I don't know if he was French or French Canadian or something. She had a kid with some dude and she had to give him money. So maybe this is part
of
the alimony.
According to Celebrity Net Worth, according to this.
Yes.
Can you have a song or something?
Hold on. Let me play the song. Yes. Hold on. Okay. Okay. Hold on. Where is, I haven't played that one in a while. Okay. There's the Jay Stew song. Hold on. I got it here. Oh, right here.
How fucking rich is this guy? I can't figure it out, I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion, or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
Okay, it's so...
She has two baby daddies.
Yeah. Was one of them that Olivier Martinez, who you once said had breath that could knock a buzzard off a shit wagon?
That was somebody I knew said that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And then another child with Gabrielle Aubrey.
That's the one she had to pay. He's like a beautiful, like Calvin Klein underwear model. Okay. So she's been in some movies, but she hasn't had like, I mean, she was like, Storm or something, I'm sure it paid, but it didn't pay $20 million.
She won an Oscar. That movie didn't pay a lot, but
Monsters Ball.
Yeah, but it definitely like raised her number.
Yeah, Billy
Bob.
I bet
she got paid to get him out in Swordfish.
She definitely did. That was a big deal. She got him out in Swordfish, but she had sunglasses on at the time. Yeah, yes, that's right. With Hugh Jackman. So, but
she felt safe to get him out.
I'm telling you that I think she had like an Oil of Olay deal or something. Like she had
definitely
one of that pain.
She had a prominent role in not Tomorrow Never Dies, which James Bond, some James Bond movie with.
But that's Pierce still Brown. Like $3-4 million. Like that's not, she's not getting rich off those roles. I mean, she's getting rich compared to Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
she had one of those. I'm going to guess that she's worth about $30 million.
You would be close.
Yeah.
If you were trying to hit the one third mark.
What? No.
90.
What?
So whatever alimony she's paying, what the fuck is going on that she's got to do lube ads?
Yeah, I got it.
Like, I agree. I'm going to go fuck Greybeard, but I need some lube to do it. Like, what? What are you doing? I'm going to let this Billy goat climb on top of me.
I believe Halle Berry is from the state of Ohio, so we have somebody that keeps us honest about Ohio stuff
and
here.
She's
so
still
that,
ridiculous looking.
Like, yes, yeah, she looks great. She's 60 or about 60. Okay,
she's probably older than John Daly.
But yes, she is. Yeah, imagine being this beautiful and making me so uncomfortable I can't look at you.
She's 58.
I'm going to tell you about. I'm not going to show you. I'm going to tell you about how my Mother's Day is going to end. You know what I mean?
Yes. I wish you hurry up.
She's fake laughing. He's like, I wish you hurry up because I want to fuck. She's holding the lube, the lubrication, Ed, in her hand. She has the bottle of lube. She's presenting it to the camera.
Fucking ad.
And also, look at the distance of the phone. Is someone else holding the phone or does she have a selfie stick? Is there, or is it on a tripod? It's like, it doesn't look like it's in one of their hands. It's too far away. It's too framed.
Spin, because Let's Spin just came out in this cute little travel size. And so since we're in Cannes, France, I traveled with it for the first time. And we're about to give it a spin.
You about to Cannes with Van.
Oh, you about to Cannes with Van. Oh! Starting to like this guy.
He knows what he's doing.
I'm starting to like this guy.
Billy goat is smooth.
Yes! You about to Cannes with Van. Oh, I got the chills. I'm ready to fuck. Oh, she's fake laughing.
Happy Mother's Day once again, everybody. I hope all of you are somewhere.
Getting fucked.
Oh, my God. That's what happened. You have Mother's Day come to an end.
She's happy to get spun, Ed. She's about to get canned by Van.
That's very upsetting.
After hearing that song, I might want to get it.
He's pretty good. The actress hopped on Instagram Sunday to post a video which showed her snuggled up next to her boyfriend, Van Hunt.
What could that pay? What could that possibly pay?
50 grand.
Right.
I'd say.
That's what I'm like, there's got to be a serious money problem.
Yeah. The only thing, so somebody has been pointing out to me recently, my friend Jen has been pointing out to me recently that that Lisa Kudrow is doing Instagram ads for like a game that you play on your phone, like a Candy Crush. And then
all know how much money the Friends people made.
Yes. Yes. They still make like $25 million a year in residuals. Just going out to their mailbox every year. They never have to work for a minute. They get $25 million every single year. Because they resell that show. And then she sent me another one. Courtney Cox is there too. They're both selling this Candy Crush video game on Instagram. And I said, the only explanation is, and it's still not a great explanation I get, is that they got a piece of the company. Like there's no, like you don't cross the street. It's like Shaq doing ads for the General.
I remember. Shaq
owns part of the General. That's how he gets, that's why he's doing ads for the General.
I remember Jason Alexander on Stern, like after Seinfeld, and he asked him about this project and he's like, well, did you get paid a lot? And he's like, oh, I don't get out of bed unless you're paying me like huge money.
Yes. Yeah. That's great. Oh, well, man, what does that feel like? It's got just to be like, no. So she has to be in. Wow. There's a lot of Halle Berry like glamour shots here. I mean, that is a woman. She has to be in business with the people that are selling this. Like, that's the only way you get Halle Berry to go on her Instagram and go, I'm about to get canned by Van right here and his gray ass and his no first names detected and his gray goatee. He's about to fuck the shit out of me with this lube right here. Like, that's the only way, right?
Yes, if she owns the lube company, but also
it's her lube. Yeah.
If you've cultivated this career and you're like, yeah, I'd like to own a lube company.
Yeah,
like,
that is true.
How much money do you need? Like, I don't think she grew really up a little girl in Ohio. I was like, someday,
yeah,
I would love to run a lube company.
Big lube.
Like, I get it. There's money to be made, but like, do you need to make that money? Do you need it? Do you need? Yeah, I can see how you need Van because, you know, he's a fucking sex machine. But,
yeah, he fucks. Yeah, for sure.
But do you need to do that? It's great. I'm glad she's having sex. I'm glad she's having fun.
Yeah.
But it felt uncomfortable watching that video.
Yeah.
I'm just reading the comments. Gross. I miss who I was 5 minutes before reading this. TMI. Who wants to hear that? Must be nice. She had herself a hot dog on Mom's Day. Yeah, it's a little upsetting, but look, I mean, that money still, bet her kids love that. Well, who cares about that? Yeah. Wow. Stay classy. She got lube to sell, you know, it's like, this is the world we're living in. People are selling lube out there. It's great.
Simon Cowell, he reportedly rejected a $150,000 offer to, judge fans having sex. I thought, do I?
Hey,
what is going on? Why would you want Simon Cowell to have anything to do with your sex life?
I
know he had a sex life with one of his buddies' wives.
Yes. Honey, I got an idea. Had a pretty good year in the market. We got some dividends. You know, we got a couple of our stocks split. We're flush. We're looking really good. Hear me out. You know how you have that fantasy of being watched? What if I could find somebody that had been maimed by a malicious plastic surgeon that's so hideous that he has to actually can't leave the house without the bag over his head, like the Elephant Man? He's so disturbing looking. How about if he watched us fuck and I'll just give him 150 grand for the trouble? What do you think? You in?
Sounds like a great plan, honey.
Simon Cowell. Hip
thrusting is awful.
You call that fellatio? Rubbish, I say, isn't it?
In it.
Speaking on the How to Fail podcast, Simon began, people used to ask me to be rude to them. I mean, literally, they would come up to me and say, would you be rude to me? And I'm like, no. See, he wears glasses because he wears sunglasses because he got butchered with an eye job, Ed. There's something going on with his eyes. Simon said that he thanked the man and happily took a photo with him. And then he was introduced to the man's wife. This is when the conversation took a bit of a wild turn. When the man apparently asked Simon, would you judge us having sex? I'm like, are you winding me up? And they went, that's a pretty good accent. No, we'll pay you, Simon continued. And then when they asked him how much they pay, he was surprised that it was a lot of money. I thought, do I, Simon admitted. Like, I would like to watch people. Could be kind of fun. But he ultimately decided that the request wasn't for him, concluding, no. I just can't do it. Simon then confirmed that the money on offer was a staggering $150,000. Look, he's real. He's not. Oh, God. Here's one without his sunglasses on. Jesus Christ, Ed. It is a tough look on this man. Yeah. So, you know, different strokes.
Tom Hardy, a guy who is good looking.
Gorgeous.
Says his health issues are not going to get better. What's going on there?
I think, you know, it's like this Tom Hardy.
I get John Daly talking about. Tom Hardy's beautiful.
Yeah, but he's, you know what, Ed, you know what he is? He's an actor. So he's a little prissy, you know, he's a little delicate. And so,
even though it's a great movie.
Yeah.
I heard he was a problem on set of Mad Max showing up. Very late.
Yeah. Oh, I heard they hated each other's guts.
For the story I read was like, she's a professional and he behaved unprofessionally often.
Yeah. Cause I think he's a sober guy too. Like, I think he's a long time sober dude.
Yeah.
So I suppose it wasn't that. That said, that's probably the best movie of the last 25 years. I mean, it's great. So good. It's never any less good. Like, you turn it on at any point and you're watching that movie and you're like, this fucking movie's amazing. I think he only has like 11 lines in the whole movie.
Yeah, he doesn't talk much.
It is so fucking good. Actor Tom Hardy has had his fair share of health issues lately. The actor bleakly admitted that he doesn't think they'll get any better. Hardy opened up about his health problems in a new interview with Esquire. He's an actor in high demand who works a lot. After he finished promoting The Last Dance, he's in the Michael Jordan movie yet?
He threw the oop in the conference semifinals.
He immediately began filming Mobland. After a while, that level of hard work can take its toll. Oh, yeah, where they fucking kiss your ass all day long and you sleep in your trailer and then come out for 5 minutes and then look
he's
at the camera one time?
Mobland. I've been watching it.
He's great in everything.
It's like, it's fun. It's very disposable, but like, it's a Paramount Plus show.
It's a show.
Seven episodes. It's like entertaining.
What's the one with him? It's him and James Gandolfini, and they're running a bar. He runs a bar. James Gandolfini runs the bar, and Tom Hardy works at the bar, and then he gets a little girlfriend in town, and you're thinking Tom Hardy's a big pussy, and then he isn't. He's not a pussy at all in that movie. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you not seen it? You need to see this, Ed. Tom Hardy, IMDb. Look, hold on. I'm going to tell you right now, because everybody should see this movie. It's very good. Tom Hardy, okay? And look, he's great in everything. Like, he's a good fucking actor. He did. What's that Christopher Nolan one where they're on the beach? World War II. He's a pilot.
He doesn't talk from that. That's right. Dunkirk. That's a great
one. Dunkirk. Yes. Okay. I can't speak to Venom, you know, but whatever. He needed the money.
I tried to watch that on. There's like sequels. I don't get that at all. It's like, it's super. It's like comic book stuff. Like this, evil being like corrupts him or something. I don't know. I was not on board with that.
Yes. The Drop. Bob Saganowski finds himself at the center of a robbery gone awry and entwined in an investigation that digs deeply into the neighborhood's past, where friends, families, and foes all work together to make a living no matter the cost. Yeah, it's Tom Hardy and who's the girl in it? She's Naomi Rapace. Don't know her? She's very good.
She was the original girl with the dragon tattoo.
She is. Oh, Noomi. Yes. Yeah. She's in there. James Gandolfini, RIP, Cousin Marv. Very good movie. Check that out. Anyway, yeah, he's got some health issues, but what are they? Is it going to be like, I got a sore hand? I got dizzy. I got dizzy today, said Hardy. See, this is he's a little delicate, Ed. I took a Sudafed and it's starting to work, so I feel better. But in the interviews, I was sitting there and you know, when you feel not right, but you can't tell someone you don't feel right. Like, listen, if I pass out, straight a cold. Hardy then went into detail.
How about the barbell of this story? Our sports story where a guy was saying he's not feeling so good. It's John Daly. He looks like a melting Santa Claus. And then you got Tom Hardy, who's beautiful. Gorgeous. And like in those shape lips. In shape that I will never get into. And like, he's
does
like,
jiu-jitsu.
I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's younger than us, too.
Oh, yeah.
Where did that come from and why? I pulled my tendon in my hip as well. That doesn't sound diagnosable. Tom, it's like it's all falling to bits right now. It's not going to get better. Those issues sound like a lot more for anyone to deal with. But Hardy wasn't finished. There's only one. There's only more. He explained of what? Stomach ulcers. That's usually has something to do with cocaine. You said blood pressure. Your knees are going. Your hair's falling out. Your teeth are wonky. You're almost 50. I mean, he's just crying the blues over here, Ed. Yeah, maybe it's a self
beautifully.
He looks gorgeous. Maybe it's a self-worth thing. Maybe it's not finishing school. Maybe it's not being good enough. This guy sounds like me at fucking therapy every Thursday, Ed. But all this, I'll show who? No one cares. I know I can do it. Well, then chill out, added Hardy. So he has no actual claims of injury, Ed. He pulled a tendon? Oh, I pulled a tendon. I'm falling apart. Get the fuck out of here. I think if it comes down to the wire and seems a sensible thing to do, and I take the advice. I don't know. I don't get the context of that. Look, Tom, buddy, just be quiet and act. Okay.
Look in the mirror. Feel better.
Yeah. Look at the rest of us. You know.
No. Go outside and look at everyone that's not you. They look worse.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Exclusively. Yeah.
A solo Disney adult. Posted this online was outraged because a family of quote jerks tried to cut him off during a parade, and that sparked outrage because people are like, you're complaining about a family and you're a solo Disney adult.
Well, I mean, that is pretty fucking weird, Ed. There's a lot of, I guess because like I live near it, like the Disney, like Disney adults are everywhere around here, Ed. There's,
when I took my family to Disneyland
yeah. a
few years ago,
yeah.
I was astonished by the amount of people wandering around without kids.
Yeah. Over there in Tomorrowland trading pins. They hang out and trade pins, and it's a little weird. The visitor said, I think this was at Disney World, right? Which seems like another level. Let's see here. A Disneyland guest has sparked a heated conversation online after recalling how a rude family tried to steal their spot at the front of one of the park's beloved parade. This guy was trying to watch a parade, Ed?
Right. There's a lot of cries for help here.
We're supposed to feel sorry that he didn't get a good, or they didn't get a good spot at a parade. The visitor began their retelling of the incident by sharing how they managed to snag a great spot right behind the barrier line of the parade. They wrote in a Reddit post via the popular subreddit, Am I the Asshole? The guest who noted they were riding one of the amusement park's motorized scooters. Oh.
Okay. Okay. It's the whole story is being fleshed out. Like I can really picture the scene now. I know exactly.
So look, when I was a less kind and less self-aware person, Ed, I was much younger and I was much more brash and I was much more interested in making a name for myself online. I may have gone to Disneyland one time, gotten hooked up by a friend of mine who could let me and my family in for free. And he did that.
Deal.
He's a good guy. Yeah. And while we were waiting in line, I may have made an Instagram or Twitter series of people whose only disability was their large bodies and scooters. And look, that's not nice to do. And I was much younger when I did it. But what I will say is there were people like this guy who are, they can't walk. They're at the park and they can't move they have too much body to move their body around. So they got to ride.
He's mad that a family, like somebody and their daughter is standing in front of them.
Who can move?
He can't see out of the rascal.
Yeah, what a piece of shit. Yeah. The guest who noted they were riding. Okay. Went on to describe how more people started to gather around them ahead of the parade start. They added that they were thankful to have their scooter to sit on as well as a front row seat to the event when all of a sudden this rude family comes up on the other side of the barrier to watch the parade, which put them right in the path of the parade and blocked my view along with everybody else's who was standing around me. Disney guests are required to stand behind a barrier during parades to stay safely out of the way of performers. Well, these people probably didn't know that. They're probably from another country, Ed. According to the Redditor, staff quickly spotted the family and immediately ordered them to get behind the barrier where they belonged with everybody else watching the parade because they were blocking the parade route by standing where they were. So the situation was remedied?
This guy just is angry because of his rascal.
Yeah, this guy and Tom Hardy, we need a buddy cop movie with this guy and Tom Hardy and John Daly all fucking complain about their, I'm too old for this shit.
I'm too handsome to live.
The user added that after some grumbling, the family did move, but the jerks tried to demand that I, along with everyone else who had perfect spots right up to the barrier, get out of their way and move back so they could use the spots for themselves. Okay, whatever. Fuck this guy. He is the asshole. Yes, you are the asshole, asshole.
We're going to close with a couple feel-good stories.
Tell me. Let's do it.
So some context to this story is, I think I read since 2000 at Lane Stadium, Virginia Tech, when the football team takes the field, it's to Enter Sandman. And Metallica finally showed up at Lane Stadium and played.
That's pretty cool.
And they rocked
the
Tech concert so hard, it registered as a small earthquake. I saw the video. It's so pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's so bad. Wait, is that video on here? Because I got to watch it. I got to see this. Look, that's pretty fucking cool. Like, you're playing the song and it's an iconic song.
It's in this.
Yeah.
I saw the video. It was
great.
I'll find it and send it to you, but like,
yeah,
it's badass.
Yeah. Very cool. That is a feel good story. You know, like Metallica, they're in their 60s. They show up and they're like, you've been playing our song. How about we fucking play our song?
Right. And that, then fucking, register an earthquake.
Yes. That is so badass. I would be very pumped up if that happened to me, and I'm happy for these people.
And
that
finally, is a
feel good story, Ed.
Finally, a show that I think we talked about last week or the week before, but The Rehearsal, Nathan Fielder.
Oh, yeah.
Got to watch this season. Everyone needs to watch this show.
I'm going to start tonight.
The backstory of this is Paramount Plus. It's on Max. The rehearsal.
Yeah.
But Paramount Plus carries Nathan For You. And recently they removed an episode where he kind of somehow he was making fun of Nazis, but they didn't want certain controversy when he was trying to make. And he then made a rehearsal episode where he compared Paramount Plus to Nazis and treated the Paramount Plus headquarters like it's Nazi Germany.
He is so funny. It's the one where he makes the jacket. He makes like his own puffer jacket, and then he wants to sell it at some outdoor store. And he's like, look, your store kind of, it needs like more, it's not really getting attention. And then he makes
He
makes like a concentration camp or something display for his jacket. What? And he doesn't understand why they don't want it displayed. Well, anyway. Store.
That's a backstory, and then people think, so right after that episode, then a hit piece comes out on Nathan Fielder, which had nothing to do with the Nazi episode, but he, in the new show, he sets up a fake singing competition for the rehearsal.
Yeah.
And one contestant felt betrayed. I signed up to be a singer, not a lab rat. And it's this whole hit piece. And this person was in a singing competition, and it's being judged by airline pilots. So she is such an idiot that but anyway, this hit piece came out and everybody thinks the hit piece was pumped forward by Paramount Plus because it's not even on their network. And he keeps referencing Paramount Plus and he's on Max. It's hilarious.
Oh, now I got to watch it. He is so fucking funny.
Just brilliant and cannot be copied. He's doing original shit, and there's a whole turn where he imitates Sully. He tries to live the life of Sully, the airline pilot.
Oh, he does. Yeah, that piece of shit, Sully.
It's such a wild episode, that one. But he's doing such crazy shit, including comparing Paramount Plus to Nazis.
He's so fucking funny. Look, if you know how I feel about Sully. Like, if this guy's doing Sully content, I'm getting in. I need to be in on this.
No, it's great.
Yeah. Okay. Ed, man, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm just feeling so good about this episode that we did. It was just a great night. We fucking rolled hard. Yeah. We're on Believe now. We're fucking making shows. Hopefully it shows up. I don't know. Might be taking a couple of days. We'll figure it out. For Ed Daily, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode number 575 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
TBLS, hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man, Jay Stu and Brian Beckner, quick to dust.